It is Thursday, the 14th of November, and this is episode 189 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another wintry episode. It's cold outside. There's no kind of atmosphere. I'm all alone, except for Ian's here. Hello, Ian.
I'm giving a kiss. That's cold.
But not cold, did you say?
Yeah, it's not
freezing.
Cold.
Freezing. Okay, you're a Scot. I know.
Oh, hold on. What temperature is it where you are right now?
I have no idea, but all I know is when I open the door, I want to shut it again pretty quick.
It's 8 degrees here.
Maybe I'm just...
I've just been out running just with shorts and t-shirt.
I have had the problem with my boiler, and therefore I have been cold for the last week, although now my house is a bit warmer today, so that's good.
Bless.
Yeah, I know. Poor old me. I should give Google a shout and ask if I can how do I fix my boiler?
Help.
Because they have launched Helpouts. This is paid live video chats with experts. So I go and get a boiler expert and ask them how I'm going to fix my house.
You can. And this, I probably should have thrown this in last week, but I thought we had enough. And I thought it was a bit of who cares? Then I looked into it and I thought, actually, this is potentially quite a big thing for Google and also for the experts out there. It's almost like taking folk that are on YouTube, giving all their makeup tutorials and guitar tutorials, and instead they're saying, give us a phone, pay us whatever, either free or $10 an hour, and we'll tutor you.
And they even as far as medical consulting, Google do a background check apparently on these people, I can't remember the way. Anyway, the medical consulting. So you can go along and you can have a consultation online, and they can charge you what they want for that session. So as a punter, you know it's basically creating a new market, which is amazing.
It is. And also you get people get reviewed. So if you go on the site just now, you can see like what the kind of best experts are, you know, so you get, cause you're going to get loads of people saying, oh, I'm a tech expert. I can sort your Mac, or I can sort your PC, or I can help you with whatever. And some people will be really good and others will be like, yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. So, and as time goes on, you'll get more and more junk, but the, you know, cream will rise with reviews. So long as those reviews are reasonable, unlike YouTube reviews.
Yes, I actually think this is great.
You know, as soon as I saw this, I thought, yep, that's clever. That's a new market. And, you know, it just opens up, it kind of open sources people. They don't have to go, you know, you don't have to go to your hospital necessarily to find out about, or NHS Direct. This is an equivalent to NHS Direct for medical stuff. And, you know, if you're a psychologist or something and you need, you know, you can offer your services. It's amazing.
And the whole, you know, software tutorials, the whole gambit. You know, if I was wanting to, you know, learn how to use Lightroom, and somebody could just, you know, connect, and I'm assuming they'll be able to connect, because I'm assuming it's powered by a lot of the stuff that's in Hangouts.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
It's just awesome. So Google take 20% as well. So that's
of course they do.
But it's back to the same as the app stores. You know, that little percentage is for the discovery point of it, and then
it solves all of your payment problems. You don't have to worry as a provider, all that kind of stuff just gets handled for you. So you just do what you do best, which is provide the service. And you know, and this can be a service that, you know, is a 2-minute chat, or you know, this is how you do what you want to do in whatever software application, or it can be a really long thing. So it can be up to you, and you can get charged, or you can charge for however much you like, which is great. Good stuff. It was quite a bit telling that the Google engineer sort of said, yeah, most information in the world is still in people's heads, and it kind of and we are looking for ways to extract it. That's the underlying from that.
You know, Amazon are doing the same thing with that. Was it Mayday? Was
yeah, Mayday. Yeah, they've advertised it on TV now.
Oh, I've not seen that.
Yeah, they're pushing it all on TV as the, it's a, obviously a sickly sweet woman who comes onto your okay, let's move on. Moto G. Motorola have released a new budget smartphone. Oh, dear me. I wonder if that's got Mayday. Basically, it's their first budget smartphone since Google took them over, and they've really gone for it, £135. So it must be rubbish.
I've just got a G-spot in my head. I can't get it. I can't stop now.
They've hit the G-spot with Mayday. But actually, the reviews of it are saying it's a pretty substantial device. Actually, it's a bit heavier than things, you know, because it's cheaper manufactured, it's actually a bit heavier than you'd expect, but actually gives it a really nice solid feel, and it kind of screams along. It's not expandable, but other than that, it runs Jelly Bean really, really well, better than its competition that, you know, double, triple the price.
It actually made me think it was a bit like the Nexus 4, and it doesn't come with 4G, which seems to be the compromise they've made, but everything else is great.
Who's going to buy £135 if they're going to go then and have a 4G contract? That is not exactly. It's not the match, is it?
You know, so it's a 720p screen. The screen is great. It's 4.5 inches. It's got the same pixel density as an iPhone 5S. You know, so retina-wise, it's fine. As you said, a bit heavier, a bit thicker, and that looks like that's the compromise alongside the 4G.
But 24 hours of usable battery life.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And yeah. But the other bit, and I kind of curbed a lot of this from the Guardian's review, but Motorola were boasting that the speed of launching applications and using applications was better than the Samsung S4, and the Guardian found that was true.
Wow.
Which is really impressive. And I know it's later, so I think that, what is it, been about 9 months since the S4 or six months since the S4 came out, so I guess you could say evolution-wise, but the specs are less, you know, so obviously they're maybe slightly better optimized in here, or it's not got all the crud.
And if they could release one of these every 4 months, and you'd still be almost ahead of the pricing game, but even if you had to buy one of these every 4 months just to keep up with that curve, so and people won't do that, they'll just have an incredibly good value phone. So that's quite an interesting direction for Motorola to have gotten with that. I know they're also talking about, a few weeks ago, we were talking about their kind of modular phone. So I wonder what they're going to come up with that. But it kind of makes you think they might be onto something here.
And it's ironic. I just added in the pros and cons. So pros, big screen, long battery life, fast processor, solid build, Bluetooth 4, which all really good. Cons, heavy, quite thick, average camera. Every Android's an average camera. No expandable storage, only 1 gigabyte of RAM, no NFC, no 4G. NFC is dead. Yeah. 4G, as you said, you're going to be elsewhere if you're better looking at 4G. And the 1 gig of RAM is maybe something, because they were taught about you can't multitask as much, but...
Yeah, well, you know. I would say the point, it's a new phone only being released with Jelly Bean. So that's like, it's almost like kind of says it's not going to be upgraded that quickly kind of thing. You know, maybe its sweet spot is Jelly Bean. That's where they're going to leave it.
But then we've talked before about Google have released so many different components now. Instead of, because it used to be you had to wait for that Android update to get, you know, updated Google Now and updated camera, updated keyboard, all that kind of stuff.
That's but now that gets updated out in the background constantly.
Even today there was a Google Now update.
Yeah, it's amazing how now that Jelly Bean does all these automatic updates, it's constant. Every day you get something else tweaked so much that I don't really keep up with it.
No, and they've done that to get around that fragmentation problem. So although fragmentation is still a big issue, it's not as big because lots of the features are dribbling out everywhere.
Yep.
So this looked like a really good phone.
Yeah, I was actually quite tempted, thinking, you know, if my phone gives up the ghost, well, why would I want to go spend any more than that? But then again, the Nexus does a similar thing for not much more. It's probably another £100, right?
Yes.
And that's obviously got all the latest stuff on it. So I doubt I'd be able to resist it personally. But if I'm recommending a phone to someone, it's hard, you know, that, and then, you know, they've got a lot of cash. Better than a non-featured phone.
After seeing the Nexus at work, it was like that screen in the build felt really, really nice.
But if someone's contemplating buying a non-featured phone, you know,
absolutely,
non-smartphone, it's not a feature phone rather than a smartphone, then why not? Just go for it. Europe has followed America's lead, and they are going to let you use your devices.
Woohoo!
On takeoff and on landing. This isn't like, you're not allowed to text and phone still. You still would have put it in airplane mode, but effectively, yeah, they followed on quite quick. Although they're still to define exactly what devices you can and cannot use.
Yes. I just can't wait for this, because hopefully by year end, you know, we'll have like BA EasyJet saying, yeah, you can just use your iPad.
I'm not a regular flyer, right? So
So this is, I'll admit, this is like first world problems.
Yeah, because it really is a tiny thing from, as in, how long does it take to get up to a height where they let you use your devices?
It's like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, so for me, that's still quite exciting. That and the bit towards landing, I'm normally bricking it a little bit. So,
but if, honestly, see if you have to do it every couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure it changes, yes. It's a pain that you can't start watching your movie.
And just when you said you can't do and maybe I should have added this in, just when you said you can't do the kind of 3G, 4G, in-flight wireless data services are taking off in Europe. The European Commission has now approved two key pieces of legislation, and that is to allow 3G and 4G at altitudes above 3,000 metres.
Okay, so they're even moving towards that now as well.
So still, final permission is still with the airlines, but it looks like they've a couple of decisions today to try and move things
catch
on.
Things up, yeah.
Yeah.
They're slowly getting rid of their Internet Explorer equivalent.
Yeah, we're on IE8 right now.
Snapchat, my goodness me, they've got some front. So Snapchat is a messaging service, and they've been going quite well. They've been expanding quite nicely, and Facebook offered them $3 billion cash to buy their company.
I didn't realize it was cash. My goodness,
an all cash deal.
Oh, it was.
And
yeah.
And they turned it down.
Do you use Snapchat?
Oh my goodness me. I don't think so.
All the kids are using it.
Are they? Is it BlackBerry Messenger type replacement?
So there was a couple of like university students kind of thing at our place who were like, what, 16, 17 or something like
shows
that?
It shows that I'm slowly losing touch because I'm not.
And it was all Snapchat. So the way Snapchat works is like you send a message and it disappears within 8 seconds or something, or 10 seconds. And there's no, and if you do take a screenshot of it, the person that sent it gets a message saying they've just captured that. So it's all the kind of.
So it's kind of a way. It's another way of cyberbullying, probably, for those who are interested
and
in that.
There's a whole other sex thing going on and all the other bits and pieces.
But it's basically, so it's like, what do you call it? It's incognito mode in your chats.
it is massive. It is I think obviously Facebook are just looking at, you know, how much traffic things like WhatsApp are taking. Because there was an article I read last week that a lot of kids are looking at Facebook and just thinking it's oldie worldie. You know, all their kind of parents are on it, or their brothers or all their, you know, relatives are on it. And they don't care about this river of news type thing. They just want to talk, chat. And
not have to worry about it for when they try and get a job in future.
And remember you said about BBM still popular, and I was like dismissive, and I know Bart would have said it's like, you know, tens of millions of people have downloaded it and laughed, but there's a whole market. I mean, I think Line was another one. So Line is a kind of Japanese one. It's massive over there, and it's all, you know, it's all got these stickers on it and all that kind of nonsense. And it just seems to be that's a big thing. So Snapchat, Facebook, offering $3 billion
is
amazing.
But it's what I say, more amazing these guys. I mean, I think they've had a couple of other people interested. That's what's made them hold off, I think, because there's some Chinese holding company that's also offered them maybe $4 billion. So, but they're saying, well, we want to leave this off until early next year, when then we hope that we're going to be even more valuable then. That's why I'm not going to ever be an entrepreneur. Is because I cannot understand how you'd make that decision.
Exactly. And the Facebook offer was, as you said, it was all cash. It was like $3 billion for everything. The Chinese investment was basically an investment that valued it at $4 billion. So they weren't offering $4 billion. They were
no, they were just a percentage
of. Putting like $200 million for a 2% that values it at X.
Yeah.
Crazy money again. It just I've said before, it feels like the bubble
that. Oh. And maybe it's going to be burst by the beginning of next year. That's my thought. But also, you know, what could you put? Why would you need any more than that? What could you possibly think? Oh, $4 billion will get me something that $3 billion won't.
Facebook turned down loads of big offers right at the start from Yahoo and others.
Okay, yeah. That's why I'm who I am, and I'm a bit of a loser.
So who's the guy? even Evan Spiegel, does he want to be the next like Zuckerberg?
Maybe, you know, but is it big enough to do that? Maybe it is because Facebook is very much we record everything you're doing and it's displayed out to the public, whereas they're going very much down the... It's not. This is just you chatting with your mates. This is a way of you chatting with your mates.
Absolutely. And I think for some kids, it is starting to dawn on them that, you know, putting stuff up on Twitter, Instagram, et cetera, it's all out there.
For the very reason that their mum and dad are watching. You know, when you're chatting with the mates, you don't want your mum and dad watching, do you?
No, because once it's on the internet, you can't get rid of it, can you?
So, it's a clever concept in that sense. So, yeah, maybe they're onto something there. Maybe they are. Maybe they are the next BBM, basically.
Yep.
Conservatives hope that some things aren't going to be on the internet anymore because they've been slowly, they've been wiping all their previous speeches and things like that from everywhere that they can find them.
Yes.
And when they said that actually they wanted to put everything up there and available for everyone.
So this was their pre-election kind of stuff. So it was like Web Cameron.
Did you ever watch whiter than white.
Did you ever watch a Web Cameron video?
I didn't.
When he
watch
was
it.
Like, it was getting filmed.
Oh, maybe I did in his kitchen.
Yeah. How many? What is his wife's name?
Oh, I don't know.
Can't remember. Some Tory bent. and they're at home and Samantha. And
Samantha.
Exactly. No, I better not.
No. Carry on.
Note that, listeners. I stopped myself. And so they've wiped those videos away. But also, there was a whole load of policy getting made that they wanted it to be more transparent. You know, so there was this kind of stuff about, you know, transparent politics and a whole load of stuff put online,
being more accountable. Blah blah blah.
Wanted to democratize information, etc. All gone.
But I mean, have we heard why they've decided to go down this route? Have we heard anything along those lines, or has it just happened and people are going, well, why has that happened?
No, it's just happened, and I think basically it's because they've realised they're Tories and you can't trust a Tory.
That's all speculative nonsense, so shut it.
It's not speculative, it's true.
Well, maybe they just made me
one Tory that you trust.
They could have accidentally changed. They could have accidentally changed the robots.txt and done this by accident, you see.
No, because if you look at the changes that was made to the robots.txt, it was anything but accidental.
And they have actually removed it from the Internet Archive as well. So there must be a reason they're doing this, but it's clearly they're trying to do it under the radar and someone noticed and now has made a big internet thing of it.
Because basically they put disallow /news/news stories and put in every year from 2000 to 2010. So that was a very deliberate act.
Yeah. There must be a reason they've done it. Never mind.
Yeah, because they're embarrassed that what they said that they did over the last 10 years is bollocks.
And people can easily find out.
Holy crap.
Yeah. My God, the internet tells them that as well. Amazon are going to further piss off the church, no doubt. And they're going to deliver everything on Sundays as well now. At no extra cost for key areas to start with, but then rolling out across the country. But basically, if you order on Friday now, suppose you can get it on Sunday rather than Monday.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Well done, Amazon.
Yeah. With Amazon's same day deliveries, their you know, their next day primes and all those kind of things, is it just means that you can buy whatever you want whenever you want. Maybe in fact more conveniently than going to the shops, which is more nails in the coffin.
Yeah, I still like, there's some products that's still nice to touch and feel, and then order on your iPhone.
Then go on the internet and find out where you can get it cheapest.
Yes.
Thank you, John Lewis, for showing me that. See you later.
Never knowingly undersold.
Never knowingly buy it from there. Netflix. Well, my parents still love going there because of they can take it back if they want to. Good for them. Netflix, TiVo, that's Virgin. I shall actually make this into a sentence soon.
I was going to say, that's just three company names you just strung together.
Thank you. Virgin Media subscribers who use TiVo set-top boxes can now get Netflix as part of on those boxes. And just as, you know, you can pay a little bit extra on your subscription, basically. And then you've got the Netflix back catalogue, and it's obviously integrated properly so that you can, when you're searching across your box, it will bring up Netflix content as well.
Which is good for Netflix.
This is the future.
Good for Netflix, because Netflix has really been on lots of the kind of streaming boxes and PCs and obviously internet and, you know, it doesn't like web browsing and stuff, but none of the set-top boxes have really had it, have they?
No, and so, yeah, because Sky have gone down their own kind of box set route, And they have got iPlayer in there and catch-up services like that, but they haven't got, you know, premium paid-for subscription type things.
There's no paid-for competitors, really.
No. So if you want to pay for stuff, it's Sky Box Office, basically. But I guess, Virgin have realised that some people are offering these licences which they'd ideally like, but they can't get for themselves, so actually integrating is the way forward.
And there's a 6-month free trial if you're a VIP or Premier Collection subscriber.
Again, how long before we just have, I know we're getting these boxes already, but just the boxes that, I mean, I guess it is like in America, Hulu, you know, that just offer this subscription-based service, none of this package of actual live TV services, all just catch up and pay, you know, pay for what you want to watch. It's getting there more and more and more.
It is. I think it's because a lot less people watch it live.
Right. So TV shows that I watch live, I don't think there are any now at the moment. Game of Thrones maybe in the new year when that all starts kicking off again.
I'll watch Game of Thrones. I'm trying to think. Sadly, I'll actually watch Gogglebox so I can I can chat to one of my mates about it. Have you watched Gogglebox yet?
I still haven't watched it now.
Oh, last night's was classic.
And it's. I mean, I was just like, Game of Thrones is a good example. Sky. Sky. I'm not convinced. Can you tell? So yeah, Sky was showing or doing a box set catch up on Game of Thrones, and I was happily watching back through, and it was really good. But then they have a cutoff date. So if you haven't got to the end of where you need to get to, by the time you get to the cutoff date, then all of your content gets deleted, and so all that goodness gets, you know, goes away. And if you've only got halfway through a series, then there's nothing you can do then to catch up because they only have a month to show you all these things. So anyway.
And that's why I'm old fashioned. I still like to have my thing.
Exactly.
My
and I would have, but at that point, I would have happily paid £3, you know, whatever, to have that series available to me to watch just for so I could finish off the last few episodes that I wanted to watch and now I can't. And actually, Game of Thrones is a good example because I can't get it anywhere else. We've got no paid for subscription services that I've found. Like, so Netflix, Amazon, Love Film, places like that don't have it.
So does that mean there's bits of Game of Thrones you've not seen yet?
No, because I watched it all originally. I saw it on catch up and wanted to go back through it again, which was, no, I was really enjoying.
I was just going to say, I'll put it in Dropbox.
Shush. Okay, let's go on to talking about Microsoft. Why not? And basically, well, you take us through this story. Elop, he's back, or Elope. Elop.
So Microsoft, seemingly they've got down to like 6 or 7 different, you know, next CEO candidates.
Who's it going to be?
And we've talked about Stephen Elop or Elop or whatever his name is. So this is the ex-Microsoft guy who basically sunk Nokia and is now back working for Microsoft. And he's now thinking about what can I kill next? Because I don't know, is he some sort of Norse god? Is it like, you know, Elop the killer? And he's just got to go around kind of culling products. So his next one...
You shall go.
The two things he's talked about culling is Bing. And so Bing for Microsoft, they throw money at it, absolutely tons of money at it, and it's kind of still there.
But they did make better headway than we thought they were going to.
Yes.
But considering how many platforms it's on and how many places it's available, it still doesn't even register on most people's day-to-day.
Yep. So it's talking about killing Bing, and secondly, selling Xbox.
Mm.
And Xbox seemingly... the only reason it's kind of semi-profitable will be in 7 years' time, and at the moment the Android subscription fees, but the patent fees and all that, I think they're getting $2 billion a year now from Android. Wow. Android phone manufacturers, and that covers off Xbox costs, which is ridiculous.
That is bonkers, isn't it?
So he's looking at those two thinking, I'll kill that, and he's also looking at things like Office, let's get it out on the other platform. And that some of that sounded like that's a different approach because they have been very locked down, and I do think there's been loads of rumors that they had an iPad version for the last 2 years, but they've waited for Surface so that they could get it out in Surface first and give it an advantage. And whether that's true or not, I guess we'll see, because I know they've said they're going to bring Office out at some point, which will be interesting just to see. Everybody knows Office, and what will it be like? So this is kind of Elop's kind of leaked out, not leaked out, but he's been obviously talking to some people in the press and saying, see if I get in charge, this is what I'd do.
Yeah, I mean, this is the, I mean, I have to say, this is probably the real non-sexy end of the speculation, people just making up stories as well. So we've got to be careful with some of this because we won't know. It's an easy thing to say that he's going to chop Xbox, but he may not really think that. You know, when you get a new product, it's nice to have a leaked photo every now and again, but most of them turn out to be rubbish, right? So this is text-based equivalent, really.
It just depends if he actually does have a... Because I know I was slagging him off. If he does actually have a strategy, because if you look at Ballmer, I don't think he's had a coherent strategy over these, what, 10, 12 years he's been in charge.
Yeah, it wasn't a visionary strategy, whatever it was no. It? So it didn't really matter what his strategy was. It wasn't from a visionary point of view. I mean, Bill Gates every 2 seconds used to do one of those houses of the future, showed the direction he wanted to take it in. And that's the same kind of thing that, you know, that kind of era brought. We're in an era now of committee, which doesn't work quite the same.
No. And I mean, it just seems to be in the last sort of year, 18 months, I've went for this. We need to be hardware. We need to be, you know, vertically aligned. We need to be doing all our, you know, in control of our own destiny, but very much like an Apple, kind of where Samsung is, you know, kind of where Google's going. It all felt very reactionary and always too late. Always too late.
Yes, they need to be looking for the next thing, but there we go. I think it'd be a shame if Xbox didn't have that kind of might behind it.
I think it would struggle.
Mm, so do I. Even though it's probably one of Microsoft's biggest successes recently. So, iPlayer is coming to Xbox One. Woohoo! It was a time, and there is going to be a time when I shall be without my iPlayer. At which point it will be, I'll be shaky. But if now with my Netflix, I'm all right.
If we ever stop this podcast, I will always think that over the 4 or 5 years we've done this so far, it's been marked with your frustration at the lack of iPlayer in Xbox and the new one's coming out and there's now a lack of iPlayer on Xbox.
And I have to say that the problem was as soon as they brought out iPlayer on Xbox, it came out on like Sky anyway, so it didn't really make any difference.
No.
By the time I stopped bitching about it, there was 2 or 3. I mean, they say they've got iPlayer across about 1,000 different devices.
Which is
mental. Can you imagine trying to look after that?
I know.
That's truly bonkers. Anyway, well done then. So pretty much all the big things are confirmed now for Xbox One, which is good, seeing as they are touting that as a media box as well. And if they do integrate Sky and all these catch-up services in the Xbox dashboard, then that's, you know, search bar would be quite an interesting thing on that.
It would. I actually watched they did that 12-minute video and I actually watched it. So I've not seen that video yet, on the dashboard, and I actually looked at it and thought, crap, I might actually use the Kinect. I might actually have it switched on, because it was daft things like you can basically get it registering your body shape. So if I was like round at your house, I could sign in see me sitting there and it would say, sign in. And there was things like that I thought were quite interesting.
Talking to my TV, and I do feel a bit of a wally, but I do tell it to pause and play regularly while I go and get cups of tea.
You don't, do you?
I do. And normally I have to say it twice. Xbox, pause. Xbox, pause. Xbox, pause.
but at what point do you just not look down at your pad and think,
this is the thing. Normally it's turned itself off by then because of the power saving, you see. If you've been watching for the first, you know, quarter of an hour of Netflix, it's turned itself off. So then
It was like just totally British, you know, like Xbox, pause.
Xbox, pause.
Xbox, pause.
Normal, and in fact, before now, I've had to turn the TV down so I could actually talk to it.
Best bit, I could see me losing the head. Xbox, pause. Xbox, pause! Just, come on!
But if you'd signed in already, then it knows when you've gone out of the room and it can pause then as well. There we go. But big news this week in gaming world, obviously, is PS4 launch, review time.
Well, it's tomorrow. In America tomorrow.
So it will have launched by tomorrow, but we've had all the embargoes lifted now on reviews. So obviously loads of people came out with really quick reviews, which is also, I'm always very cynical about. Others were sort of held off a little bit. But what they're saying is hardware good.
Yes.
Excellent even.
Yes.
No IR port, so you can't, IR blasting and stuff like that.
Yeah, just speak. PS4, pause.
But they haven't got the latest wireless standards, so that's not particularly future looking, I guess. Bluetooth headset support, is that because they haven't got it?
They haven't got it.
And the old ones used to be Bluetooth headsets, right?
Yeah, but then I guess I've always been down on the PS3, but I used to hate everybody having different headsets and sounding loud, quiet, and some people would be compatible and other people wouldn't.
Yeah,
it's a bag of heart.
So actually having a constant, you know, doing that cut off and having a constant thing is good. They're saying that the controller is good. It's bigger than the old DualShocks and is probably the best one they've made yet. Bigger triggers. And
yes.
Know, that's good news. Touchpad, they're saying, is usable but can be fiddly. Battery life, 7 to 8 hours. No good.
Which is really quite...
That's quite that, battery draining.
Yeah, because I think they're used to seeing things like 30, 40 hours. And yeah, I know most folk will go and buy one of these recharge kits or whatever, sure. But that's still really short time.
Still a pain in the ass having to plug it in, because the whole point of a wireless controller is you don't. Yeah, that's bonkers. Operating system is nice and clear, but there's tons and tons of menus. No local media playback, which is strange, I guess.
No CDs, no MP3s, I'll play back Blu-rays, but the DLNA functionality is gone, which for a lot of people is they're kind of still jaw-dropped at, and Sony have come out yesterday and today saying, we hear you, we'll do something.
Yeah, they're doing anything to placate gamers and people at the moment, aren't they? They're willing to just say anything.
And game videos, I mean, this is the thing that both platforms have been talking about, that you can record your gameplay, and Xbox is 5 minutes worth, and I think PS4 was the last 15 minutes worth. But both platforms are saying it, so it's great, and it's recording it in 720p, but the actual uploaded video is quite murky and muddy and compressed.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
How else do they do it? Online, they have now got parties, so you can actually have party chat, 8 players, 8 friends. Good.
Yeah, it feels like 2005 when the Xbox 360 came out.
And I have to say, though, friends party chat has kind of killed Xbox social aspects. Like, if you're not on party chat, there's so little going on.
Yeah. Basically. But at the same time, if you do just jump into like a Call of Duty and you're...
Yeah,
and
most of the time you want to mute everyone.
None of your friends are on. It's just
you want to mute it within the first 2 seconds anyway. Yeah, you're right.
It's assholes, right. Or it's like 15-year-old kids thinking, I can swear.
But that's kind of what I mean by it's killed the social aspect of it, because you just won't put up with that now. So, yeah, there we go. And you can join friends games. Wow. Yay.
So you could join friends games before, but you had to kind of launch the game and go...
Yes, you had to go into the game and join them there rather than join from Dash.
Yeah.
Great. 2,000 friends supported. Twitch support. Twitch was a... wasn't that a video uploader as well?
Yeah, so this is another streaming service which both platforms are supporting.
Yeah.
And Twitch has got, you know, clients out on iPad and iPhone and Android. Because I do from time to time just fire up and watch people game.
There we go.
Which is a bit like Gogglebox. Instead of actually watching TV, I'll watch people watching TV. Instead of gaming, I'll watch somebody decent gaming now.
But the biggest problem with PS4 is that the launch games, like most launch lineups normally, they're just not very strong, and there's no killer platform game really. But then again, the Xbox One's the same. All the relatively good games are cross-platform. Their killer games aren't out till next year. So
I think the only hope in Xbox is that Forza will deliver.
But if you're not a car driving, which is a relatively small subset of gamers, so
it is. Yes, and I think it's definitely an issue for both platforms.
But the PS4 is all about games, whereas the Xbox is saying, well, entertainment as well. So that's maybe going to pay off for them. What worries me is that all the talk on the internet at the moment, you can hear it, is just, PS4 is better, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and again, it reminds me of 360 and PS3. PS3 was this superpowered behemoth that was going to kill everything. It had Blu-ray. 360 had nothing. You know, it was always DVDs and you know, games are going to be gigantic, and it's not going to last.
And it lasted 8 years or whatever, the longest ever for a console.
Yep, and in UK and US it was bigger selling, and I know around the world I think PS3 sold more. Both were decent consoles. I had real issues with the PS3. Just so many things that just irritated me compared to the 360.
Yeah, and it's but it's good that Sony are hopefully back in the game strongly. Anyway, it's good for competition, good to keep things going, good for games development. But the thing is, most people end up doing cross-platform now anyway, so there's not that many games that end up being single.
No, and I think what's a shame is what they're saying is even like your FIFA's, Madden's, to a certain extent, Battlefield, Call of Duty, they are just tweaked last-gen engines.
Yeah, that's right. They're not even trying to take the most... Well, they can't because they haven't had the chance to make the most of a new engine.
So it's I guess for us, early adopters, we'll get it, we'll enjoy it. And I think there'll be a kind of, oh, what's next? Because I still remember the Xbox coming out, the original one, and Halo. Halo felt like, oh, that was a title that you wanted to buy a console for.
And it did. Well, that's why we did buy a console. Yep. Yeah.
And I think the 360 kind of suffered from a certain extent. It was
No, there was no big launch game that time.
No big launch. I think we all still plumped for it.
The thing is, they launched it at a more reasonable time, though. That was the thing. So this is too close to Christmas for games manufacturers to only want to make for the Xbox One, which is why we've seen so many games that have come out on current gen only to be, you offer, you know, a free upgrade or a cheap upgrade to get the latest version when you buy your new console. Because they couldn't afford to just plump for a game on this. And I think that's why we're seeing things like Titanfall the next year. And probably big PS4s next year.
I'm trying to remember also, what was the game that Ubisoft delayed?
Watch Dogs.
Yeah, because I think that was one that did look like that's the next, because that was on my list of, it was that Forza and FIFA I thought were going to be the titles to get. And I kind of swapped it down for Battlefield, which I could have got for the 360. And I don't think I would have felt that different a game. Because once you're in playing,
once everything's moving, it's only when you stop and look at a single screenshot that you really notice all these things. So.
Yep. And I know Forza will all go, oh, really smooth, and that's really nice. But at the end of the day, you know, it's the same with PGR4. If you remember when that came out, you compared it to PGR1. It's graphically night and day difference. But
you don't know.
Once you're racing, you're racing. It's
Yep, absolutely. Good stuff. That's the end of our news. It's next week for Xbox, basically. I think it's going to be just after, unfortunately, our podcast. But
yeah, so
I'm sure we'll have heard more about by then, all about the reviews of that kind of hardware. Anyway, so
I would have thought the reviews would have been midweek again.
Yeah, looking forward to that. But picks, you've got a pick.
I have a small pick. It's an extension for Chrome. It's Humble New Tab Page, and this just takes over from the kind of built-in Chrome New Tab options. And it's really simple, but it gives you access to your bookmark bar, other bookmarks, mobile bookmarks, but also your most visited as a list, and then your apps, recent bookmarks, a little bit of weather, recently closed tabs. You can configure it. It's got some nice configuration options, but it's nice and clean and it's fast.
I can see why you like it, because it's nice and clean. But for me, I can get to all those things in Chrome's normal menu items, and for me, I quite like the thumbnailed view. So,
I've never liked it. I've never liked it in either Firefox, Safari, or Chrome. I don't know.
Nothing doesn't offend me at all, and offers me a quick way to click on a site. So for me, it's good.
No, absolutely.
But I can see why you like it. It is very, very sleek. It's very you, in fact, in that respect. You know, it's nice and white space, and it's, you know, semi-chromeless in that it kind of hides away all those lists and they nicely open up and stuff.
So. Which I quite like.
Yeah, it looks good.
Quite like. So that's it.
Good stuff. That is our pick. Thanks for that. That is the end of our podcast. So if you want to find out more about us, what we do, you can do at www.digitaloutbox.com, and you can talk to us. Email info@digitaloutbox.com. Twitter, Skype as Digital Outbox. If you feel the need to get in contact with me, you can on Twitter, CheesyUK, and on my blog, academyracer.co.uk, you can find out all about my racing. Ian, where can we find you?
Blog is iand.net, and Twitter, I am on there as Shwipa.
Great stuff. Right, so we'll talk to you next week. That's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from Chris. Goodbye. That didn't work.
Och no.